Hey, welcome back to Real Talk with Caleb. Y'all know the deal. Around here, we keep it real. And none better to keep it real than my Air Force brother, Mac. Mac, how are you doing, man? Thank you so much for joining us. And you know, as you get into this a little bit, we'll tell people where you're from. But first off, just how are you doing, man?
Doing good. No, everything is good. And I appreciate you having me on your podcast. I have been following your podcast now for the past few years. Some of your guests have said some things that have been extremely inspirational. Lots of things have been greatly inspiring to me. And it doesn't just fall on my ears whenever I'm listening to the podcast. It's definitely something that I try to pass on to my teammates out here at lovely Hill Air Force Base, Utah, every single day. So, man, thanks. It's definitely an honor to be here.
Absolutely. So thank you for joining us, man. The honor is mine. I tell you what, something I've learned through sitting down and just chatting with people over the years is there's a lot of stuff that in those conversations, sometimes it's personal conversations, right? But the majority of conversations, it's kind of like all the world's problems were solved in a bar somewhere, but nobody wrote it down, right? Of how to solve the problem.
Yeah.
And went the next day, they forgot what they had said. So I was like, man, we should start recording some of these conversations because there are some people like yourself that come on here and just share a wealth of information that helps people, no matter whether they're in the Air Force or not, whatever their walk of life is, whatever their rank is. So, man, we are honored and blessed to have you on here. And I'm not saying that to placate you, man. You've got quite the record yourself, quite the experience. You're a seasoned senior NCO, senior enlisted leader within our Air Force. And that's hard to do, man. You're a senior master sergeant. That's hard to do. Only 2% of our Air Force get to wear that rank, right? So thanks for what you do.
Sir.
Tell us a little bit. Tell the audience a little bit just so they know, man. We kind of feel that, hey, when they get to know you just a little bit, you don't have to share, you know, your entire life story if you don't want to, but just a little bit about who you are as we jump into this and get onto our topic today.
All right, fantastic. So January 5th, 1983 was a really solid year. We'll start there. So now that was the year that I was born, but I'm not going to take you all the way back to the genesis. Henry McRoberts, Senior Master Sergeant, United States Air Force. My peers have referred to me as Mac over the course of the past 20 years that I have served. I work in the capacity of an aircraft armament systems superintendent, since I'm a non-level, I guess we could say that, or low-toed weapons warrior for all my weapons guys out there. What up? Big shout out. Again, served in the Air Force 20 years. I've been married for 20 years. I have two beautiful children, Brianna, who just turned 18 and graduated from high school. We count our blessings for that one because not all parents have the ability or the blessing to be able to say that. And then we have my son, Henry the Fourth, 17, and he's actually getting ready to roll into his senior year. So exciting times as we get ready to transition into that point. Over the course of 20 years, I've served, this will be my seventh assignment. So started off Holloman Air Force Base, working on F-117s, did some time out in Korea, as we were previously stating before we had started the podcast, out there in Kunsan, one of the Who Dat Juvat boys, working on F-16s, follow-on assignment, Dias Air Force Base. Was out there for 4 years from 05 to 09, working the B-1s, selected to be a technical training instructor for three-level schoolhouse out of Shepherd Air Force Base. From there, worked a TFI initiative out of Homestead Air Reserve Base, so active associate. So we were actually active duty embedded on a reserve unit. So we're working in partnership with our reserve counterparts. From there, DSD selected to become a first sergeant, put my diamond on to work in the capacity of a first sergeant. Did that out there at Tinker Air Force Base for about 4 years, from 16 to 20, which brought me here, took my diamond off, and now I'm currently serving as a section chief, a weapons section chief for the 4th Fighter Generation Squadron here at Hill Air Force Base, Utah. Some of my favorite hobbies. One, I love the Lord. I love going to church. I actually participate in church activities quite frequently. I grew up in a household full of musicians and singers. So I have been playing the piano since I was 12 years old and kind of in that arena of the church and just playing with the choirs. And that still carries on with me to this very day, even going to TDY locations, deployed locations. Two things I always look for. One is a dining facility so I can make sure I can eat and go to locate that base chapel so I can make sure I keep my spirit right for the duration of those deployments. Outside of that, I just love just living my best life, right? And always just trying to be an example for anybody that I come in contact with and just making sure that they're inspired and they're influenced to go out there and go about life the right way, whatever that right looks like for them. So that is just a little synopsis about me. That's about all I got.
Thanks for sharing, man. I tell you what. So physically and emotionally and spiritually filled up. You got to look for those fueling stations. Man, I tell you what, that's good. That's great advice too. I think just a little rabbit hole real quick. The audience knows every once in a while I'll take a take a venture down a path less traveled pretty much my whole life. And you know, base chapels, man, don't always get used to their fullest extent for sure. And so thanks for stopping in and not only getting fed yourself, but I know you, just what I've watched you on social media. Obviously, we just discussed earlier, we've been on the same plot of ground at the same time and didn't realize it, but never having served, we just watching you through social media, man, I know you're always going to try to inspire people. I shouldn't even say you try to, you just show up and exist and do the best that you can with what you've been blessed with. And that's automatically inspiring people. I tell you what, I didn't know you played the piano, man. I got this new mic, you know, hey, I'll get on a mic and I'll hit something. You play some tunes, man. We can start a band or something too. Nobody's going to listen to me sing. They'll figure out a way to cut that off and listen to you play the piano, and then we'll be good to go. We'll sell records. Nobody tell me that I stink at it.
That's it. No, you say the word and I'm down for the cause.
Let's do it. I tell you, we're going to have a little bit of fun on here tonight too. We are going to discuss a very, I should say a very serious topic, but it is a topic I don't think we focus on enough as humans, right? Regardless of what your profession is. But I think if we focus more on what we're going to talk about tonight, well, it's tonight for us, wherever people are joining us from, happy, whatever it is, whether it be morning, noon, or night. So we want to talk to you a little bit tonight about legacy. And I know, Mac, I hit you up a little while back and I said, hey, man, we need to get you on the show, man. We need to get you sharing some more of your knowledge out there in a different space, you know, and that's all it is, right? It's not that this is going to change you. It's not going to change me, but it's going to change some other people potentially. And what I mean by that is your voice is giving you another opportunity to share your voice in another aspect, another medium. And man, when I hit you up, you're like, yes, I definitely want to come on there. So thanks again for that. But you want to talk to me about legacy. So man, what's on your mind as it pertains to legacy? And again, no script tonight. We're going just with hot mic, if you will. My boys and I, we call it hot takes. You know, we'll just throw a topic out there and start discussing it. So for you, man, what do you want to talk about in regards to legacy? What does that mean to you?
So a legacy does mean everything to me. And it comes at different angles. So a legacy to me is like, you know, I'm, you know, the third generation Henry McRoberts in my family. My son is the fourth. You know, something as simple as maybe my son asking me, like, why did you name me Henry Clay McRoberts IV? And then you start to talk about the lineage of where he came from, and you know, and then to have this conversation with him about his great grandfather, born in 1924 during the time of a Great Depression, who was drafted into World War II. And even outside of that, didn't get past a third grade education, but still was able to find a way to find those foundational principles that allowed us to be able to have strong work ethic, to have a strong character, to understand how to be a decent human being and to do what's right, you know, by yourself, as well as doing right by others. You know, that even that little small seed of something that was established from the time that my grandfather was born, his great grandfather, is now being passed down to a young man who was born in 2004, and something that's continuing to go on. You hear a lot of topics and conversations about people saying it's so important for us to be able to kind of live in the present. And sometimes we don't necessarily understand what living in the present means. I take it a step further by saying that everything that we do in our past and even the things that we are starting to do in our present moment, whether it's our interaction with our folks and our jobs, our interaction with our families, church members, you name it, every single one of those days and every single one of those interactions plants little small seeds of things that are going to remember you well after you're gone. And I think that's a $1 million question that comes with quite a few people. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm living my best life and I'm living life for myself. And I'm definitely living life and making sure that I do right by others. But, you know, whenever it's time for me to, you know, go into the dirt and someone is reading off my eulogy, you know, what is it about me? Or what is it about the things that I've done that will remain on this earth that people will remember me by? Because we all know it's not necessarily going to be the monetary value or any other things that we possess that's going to go with us, but, you know, or even the things that are going to live on for that matter. But it's definitely in the way that we, you know, that we treat people and how we interact with the world that'll be able to kind of carry on through our lineage and family, and as well as the folks that, you know, had the opportunity to spend the quality time with us. So I guess that's one of those things that's just kind of getting a better understanding of that. And well, what does having that legacy really mean?
So I got a question for you, Mac. When did, so you obviously have put some thought into this, and you can tell that just listening to you, very mature, methodical in your words, choosing your words. When did this click for you? When did the, like, hey, you know what? It's not about living in the moment. And I do want to go back and talk about living in the moment, what that means to you, but when did it click for Mac? You know, how old were you? Was there a special or specific, I should say, event that happened that made you think about, my goodness, it's about more than living in the minute, in the moment.
Absolutely. I would probably have to take it back to the time, and this was just last year, right when my father, the late Henry Clay McRoberts Jr., he had actually passed away from COVID. But I just taking the time to think about all the things that he did to kind of invest in me. And it wasn't like foot stomp, I'm investing this on the inside of you. It was an everyday interaction. It was every day that I was with him, watching him interact and kind of understanding why he did things the way he did without necessarily having to sit down and get the whole how-to from Genesis to Revelation. And the investment that he put inside me when he passed, it seemed as though I really took the time to kind of reflect on all of those lessons that were learned subliminally. And I'm not saying that he was like, I'm teaching you a lesson, son. This is, you know, when you actually came into an engagement and you responded a certain way, all of a sudden it clicks in your back head like, man, that was the reason why he did that. But then to take it a step further, it's like, okay, well, my father took the time to invest that type of information on the inside of me. Am I doing the same thing to try to invest that into my children? Am I doing this same thing to try to invest this type of, you know, time and engagement in my marriage? Am I doing this when I go to work with my airmen? And like, so you're cognizant of the fact that you're living in a present moment, but then taking it a step further by understanding on the present moments that you do encounter, is it going to have a lasting impact well after you are gone? And so I think then is when it really started to click. I couldn't imagine thinking about something like this when I was a teenager or even in my 20s. But as I continue to get into a seasonal stage of my life, which most people would like to refer to as being old, I just refer to it as the seasonal stages of your life. Yep. You know, what is the most important thing? Is it, to some people, it is going to be making sure that they have some sense of a generational wealth, which is all fine and well. You want your family to be prosperous well after you're gone. But for me, it seems as though the most important thing for me is to be able to invest the values and be able to invest the knowledge. Whether it's applicable well after I'm gone or not, but at least it was knowledge that I was able to pass on, and then, you know, with hopes that it'll be beneficial, you know, well into the future. That was one of the things that really just kind of clicked with me, and just making sure that the time that I do have left on this earth is, am I making sure that it's the right investments as opposed to just sucking up air every day? So,
my goodness, man. So first off, condolences to you and your family regarding your father, man. It always, you know, pains us to know a loss, right? Anytime you experience loss. So condolences from, I know the entire, you know, Real Talk with Caleb audience would also agree with that. But man, I tell you what, you hit on so many things there. I wish we had about 5 hours to talk about this, because the things you talk about, man, there's so much to unpack there. But one of the things that stood out to me was the intentionality. I don't even know if that's a word, and I'd have to look that up, but the intentionality of your dad, right? Because while you might not have heard, hey, this is a plan, Mac, I'm teaching you something right now, son, you need to listen to me. Mm-hmm. There probably were times like that, right? Probably when you messed up. There were always times for us, you know, when we messed up, we really remember those. But the reason I say that, man, is because in life, even when sometimes, I think in categories, right? For this particular portion of the conversation, there's people that don't even know about a legacy, never even thought about it, never crossed their mind. There's people that know about a legacy and maybe realize a little bit they had a legacy left for them, and maybe they think of it in terms of financial things, you know, wealth, whatever, or goods or resources. And then some people, like you, realize that a legacy was left for you, and you have a responsibility to carry that on, that legacy on. And something we'll ask you towards the end, just so you can be thinking about it, of what in terms, simple terms of, you know, a sentence or two or whatever of what you hope your legacy would be. But in that is the intentionality. Your dad was intentional about building this plan. I do that with my sons of, like, they're essentially, if you weren't you were in the military and you look at it, it's a spreadsheet, it's like an OJT plan. Yeah. And there's percentages on there, and you know, we have a coming of age ceremony for them and stuff. And we never had that stuff done for me when I was a kid growing up. But you know, something as simple as, you know, hey, now you're grown, you're a man, go do man things, right? Most people are like, what does that even mean? I don't know. So we want to be intentional about setting people up. And you brought up too of like, am I doing this intentional? I realize that this has been done for me, but how am I setting the foundation for my family, or for maybe it's your military family, so for the airmen that you lead? So anyway, just so many things to unpack there. When you talk about, you know, being intentional, what are some of the steps, I guess, that we can dive into? Because I really can't help somebody understand they have a legacy left for them. You have to just wake up and understand that. And what I mean by wake up is like in reality, just understand like, hey, this is important. And maybe you, through some of our additional conversation, you can tie that together of how do we go about being intentional? So you had brought up earlier, sorry, I'm rambling, but you had brought up earlier about planning conference. And I think of this as like long range planning, having to plan long range for a target we may not even shoot at one day, but I need to prepare you for that big target that could be really bad, right? But also along the way, and within that intentionality, is prepare you for the crisis actions, right? Like, hey, here's the plan. It's going to go to you know what in a handbasket, but in the interim, I'm going to build that resiliency within you. So talk to us a little bit about, let's take it from a leader perspective. How are we intentional? How should we go about building legacy that will withstand the test of time within those that we're responsible to lead?
Okay. So I will start by probably telling you that in order for you to be intentional in your legacy, it's very, very important for one to understand that type of legacy and that mindset has to be intrinsic. It has to start absolutely with you. It can be based off of your experiences. It can be based off of the people that you've been influenced with over the span of your whole entire lifetime. But through it all this information and all the experiences that you've built up together, if you're not deliberate on the inside first about how you feel about how you are living your life and thinking that the investment that you can put into the life of others, if you do not believe that that's not going to happen, then a legacy will probably not start. And if it does start, it's going to be an extremely rocky foundation. So to believe into your ethical values or what you believe in every single day and what's going to be a betterment for yourself and what's going to be a betterment for everybody that comes in contact with you, it's important for you to first start to believe in yourself and in your way of life. From there, I mean, you'll start to slowly but surely get the gravitational pull of the individuals who really believe in your lifestyle and they kind of believe in how you carry yourself out and knowing that you're going about things the right way. But it's also important that, you know, some folks understand that, you know, legacies are your legacy or whatever that you're doing on the inside to try to kind of spread seeds around. It's not going to be built for everybody. And so what you find is that there's some individuals who actually get shook when they're trying to live out their life the way that they believe is the right way to live. And then all of a sudden, people are constantly in disagreement with them. And there might be a chance that the multitude that's in disagreement with you may be trying to send you a resonating message that there might be something on the inside of your legacy that or the way that you're going about things that maybe that just needs to change. But you shouldn't let it shake your foundation. If it's something that you truly believe in, you'll continue to follow it on a daily basis and continue to be that example of a lifestyle to live by. And you'll be surprised as a leader, how many people will actually kind of come behind you and not only emulate in some way, form or fashion, how you live your life, but they'll also be able to bring something additional to the table that can help strengthen any weak stress fractures on the inside of that foundation, just to make that legacy a little bit stronger. So that I would say the first step is making sure that you believe in yourself. And two, the most important thing is understanding that you have to follow it every single day. I believe I hear it on your podcast quite a few times when you tell people, hey, you got to walk it like you talk it. You know, I mean, even if we were talking about something as a simple concept of which I love of yours is the boot leadership concept. I absolutely love that. You know, for you to be a boot leader, it's important for you to understand and wake up every time you strap your boots on that you're going out there and you're about to get in these trenches with your people and you're about to make that difference and you're about to lead by example. And the one day that you decide to show up with slippers, everybody's going to be looking at you crazy. And now everything or the whole integrity of a boot leadership theory is now going to be in question because the same person who was once preaching about boot leadership is now wearing slippers to work today. So you really just need to stand firm behind what you believe in and how in your daily walk of life. That's what's really going to make the difference. Out of those two steps, everything else is just really just taking it day by day and just making sure that you stand strong in what you believe in.
You're absolutely right. So what I hear you saying in that is like being aware of and following your personal values. You know, in the Air Force, we have our three core values that we teach our airmen, civilians that we transition into airmen, right? At basic military training, you know, we teach them the core values, integrity first, service before self, and excellence in all we do. But, you know, I tell people sometimes, I don't tell them sometimes when I'm talking to them in certain conversations, right? If this comes up and I feel the need to tell them, I'm like, hey, you know what? Integrity first, service before self, and excellence in all you do might get you through life. That might be your values. Those aren't my values, but they might be yours. And if they're not yours, here's what I need you to do. I need you to sit down and think about the things. And I I'm a little rough sometimes. And so I say, you need to pick something you'll die for. Will you die for service before self? And I'm not knocking the Air Force core values at all, right? So that needs to be set up front. It's great to pull a group of people together and get them to common folk. Oh, wow. It's like that's what they designed it to do, right? But for your personal stuff, right? What are we going to do? Like faith, family, and service. Those are my three values. So that's where the concept of boot leadership came from. And I'm not going to take this down boot leadership road. People can read the book for sure. And it's free on the website, y'all. It's for free, you know. I ain't trying to make no money off of it. But if you buy the hard copy, yes, I can't afford to give everybody a hard copy. But anyway, that's where that came from. And so what I hear you saying is, if you're out there listening to this right now and you're interested in a legacy, my goodness, you better know your own values and what you're going to stand for, what your purpose in life is, what your dash is, before you get out in the real world and start trying to lead people and build a legacy. You know, it's a copy paste, right? I can go listen to Jocko Willick podcast and come in the door, kick the door open and be like, y'all are all effed up, un-F yourself. And in an FSS, right. In a force support squadron. I just picked that one because that's on top of my head. And I got friends in FSS. That probably ain't going to go very well, right? They're going to be
we love our FSS. We love them.
This dude's an idiot. Like, what's he doing? Now, if I walked into an EOD shop and said that, they knew me, they'd probably be like, all right, chief says, let's go. And but I don't do those types of things. But anyway, of knowing yourself and standing firm, and I really appreciate that. And being open to the fact that you might have some blind spots. I heard you say that in there, right? Of like, hey, you know what? Somebody else might bring something to the table. So we have to be humble, right? I think I hear you say that in your language. You got to be a humble person. And then I'd like to ask you a question. Don't let me forget about seeds. We won't go back to that. But I ask you a question about why is it important? Why does Mac think it's important or believe that it's important that we build a good legacy within the United States Air Force from every person is in a position of leadership? First off, what should that legacy be? And then why is it important to leave that legacy?
That's a very strong question. The importance of leaving a strong legacy, especially in the United States Air Force, is that you have to understand, I guess, to take it into context, you'd have to understand exactly where we started and where we're at now. It's a legacy. There are certain legacies inside the United States Air Force that have been able to carry us to the very place to where we stand. And you can talk about the legacy of innovation, where we've gone from pop planes to dropping dynamite sticks out of a cockpit to now we have munitions that are GPS guided and they can fall on a dime. You could talk about the legacy of carrying on from diversity, equity, and inclusion, where at one point in time we were in segregated barracks coming up in through the ranks. And now we're at a position of where we can all share common areas together on a military installation, regardless of race, color, gender, sexual preference, so on and so forth. So there's a lot of legacies that are still being carried forward. And those are some of the big rocks that you're seeing that are constantly being tackled year after year in our Air Force. But as an individual and as a person, you always just try to find ways to try to help groom your young airmen into being excellent followers, and then slowly but surely just trying to help them transition into being effective leaders. And a lot of that does not happen without mentorship and guidance. And I know mentorship is a huge word. And I know, you know, I've heard you say in the previous podcast that has been utilized as a buzzword. And I completely agree with you. For you to take, you know, 10 to 15 minutes out of your day, how many ever days that you have available to sit down and really invest time of about how you go about handling certain situations to make sure that your people are good. That's 15 minutes that you've invested inside that airman that's going to resound with him maybe 15 to 20 years ago. I think it was Chief Master Sergeant John Payne that said it the best. He was a prior dime. He was a prior Chief First Sergeant for the Air Force District of Washington. He's now a Command Chief out at Guam. And I heard him mention this at a worldwide conference when he said, that, you know, the 15 to 20 to 30 minutes that we spend with our airmen could easily change the trajectory for the next 15, 20, 30 years of their life. When he said that, that really had a strong resonation with me. And it kind of ties back into that whole piece about, you know, yeah, granted, yes, I know that I'm living in the present moment, but what is my present moment really investing in? And how's that going to look? What is it going to look like for the people that I come in contact with every single day when it comes down the road into the future? So establishing a strong legacy and making sure that we understand the importance of what is going to carry forward into the future should be one of your hugest driving factors to making sure that you establish a strong legacy. It's hard for me to answer the question of what that legacy looks like because everybody's mindset is different when they think about what a legacy should be. You know, there's going to be somebody who can come along with the legacy of, hey, man, it's important for you to make rank first time every single time. And if that's what the legacy looks like, then good for you. But then there's also some of the supervisors and mentors that I've had in my life that wanted me to know that a legacy that they've instilled inside of me was, is that, you know, it's about your human contact. It's about the people that you come in contact with, how you interact with them, and how you can make their world better just as well as they can make yours better, and continuing to build those relationships throughout your Air Force career. And then for me, it seems as though like that's been like one of the strongest things about me being in the military. And I can only speak for myself, but I'm certain there's others that will feel the same exact way. But building those relationships is what continues to have me wear this uniform and continue to serve because I work with some of the most awesome teammates in the world. So to be able to take that and to be able to pass that along to, you know, the airmen and the NCOs that are coming up behind me, that it is that that's the part that really, you know, drives home for me to be able to continue to serve. If they can embody a piece of that and be able to share that along, and then you'll just start to see that a legacy of being a part of a team, an elite team, and not everybody makes this cut and gets to where they are in any portion of an Air Force career, then it makes a difference. Like you need to be, that's something that you want to be a part of. And well, after you're gone, you want to see people continue to pass that type of information on. So
you're absolutely right. So something I'm going to not disagree with you. I agree with you 100%, but I want to push back on something because I know some of the audience members, you know, heard something or will have heard something because they're not hearing it live, something you said in there. And so I want to kind of pull the thread on it. Remember, I told you earlier, I made some notes and pull the thread on some things. So making rank your first time every time, I'm not knocking anybody that does that, right? Right. Or that is capable of doing that. I know you're not either. But, yeah. You know, when we talk about the legacy that we should be leaving, you hit the nail on the head with, you said, my interpretation of leaving a legacy. I did air quotes that are so not cool anymore for those that are hearing this versus watching it. But you said, you know, hey, everybody is going to come a little bit differently. I think that's really executing the legacy. You know, might be different ways to go about leaving a legacy. And so you're right. There's some people that are going to come in, and I'm just going to challenge this. And if people, put your safety toe boots on, because we're getting in some real talk now, and I'm going to step on some toes. If people are out there coaching, mentoring, whatever buzzword you want to use for the day, telling people that they need to, their main priority is to make rank the first time every time and get all the awards, you're flat wrong. Because I look at it as, you know, hey, you know what, number one, and first and foremost, in our oath, I don't ever remember, it's like, I do solemnly swear to make rank the first time every time. I just say, help me out, bro. Was that in there? I don't think it was. I think
no,
it's
about no, sir,
support,
no, sir.
Defending the Constitution of the United States or something like that, right? On a serious, that's what it is. So, you know, I look at it as like, hey, supporting and defending a way of life, what, you know, all the things that we stand for as a nation, things you alluded to, right? And talked about working in within the Air Force, but within our nation, we're continuing to grow and continue to mature and get better at the things we do and how we treat each other. But in the Air Force, our military arm of that, right? The military arm, we're past diplomacy, we're using the military. And it is to support and defend the Constitution. So our legacy should be to promote being able to do that long into the future after we're gone. And what you said is 100% that. So I just kind of wanted to tighten it up a little bit so that people listening to it can't, you know, just so they wouldn't get the idea that Mac had told them, hey, bro, whatever your way is best. And all, Mac didn't say that.
Right.
but you're absolutely right when you're saying it's the heart of taking care of people and relationships. Man, my goodness, you couldn't have been more right on that, because I'm not talking about huggy-feely singing kumbaya, right? Or whatever tune you want to sing. Actually, I got to look up the definition of that. That might be alluding to something that I wouldn't necessarily stand for. But anyway, I think people get the idea of like, hey, this is not, it's not babysitting. We grown people. Like Chief Master of the Air Force, SMSAF Bass number 19 says, hey, we grown folk around here. We grown folks. That's it. We're not babysitting, but it doesn't mean I have to treat you like the Grim Reaper either, right? Like right. I can hold you to a high standard, treat you with dignity and respect, and teach you how to do the same thing. My man, you're doing it already. I know it. I see people that know you and have talked about you, and I know you're. That's how you're building leaders and growing and coaching leaders. So I just wanted to hit the nail, drive the nail home on that one is at the end of the day, man, that's what it's about. And you talk something real key, especially when we're drilling down straight into the Air Force now, about knowing where we came from. My goodness, you know, innovators. I'm not, again, knocking anything that we're doing. We say innovation is new. You know what? Billy Mitchell would slap all of us right now if he was around. I'd be like, man, I was innovating when I dropped that bomb down that smokestack. What are y'all talking about? Hey, or, you know, what facts. About the Doolittle Raiders when they stripped out the insides of the airplane so they could put more bombs on them and it could actually get them off the aircraft carriers and all this stuff, right? So knowing our history, knowing our heritage, like you said, understanding how to interpret how we're growing from that and through that. And at the end of the day, it's about producing the warfighter that America needs to support and defend our nation, right? At the end of the day. So anyway, yeah. Man, it's been so great talking to you, but I want to go back and because something you said earlier in our conversation and something you said previous conversation before recording, seeds. Man, talk to us about seeds and planting seeds and what that looks like and what maybe some, I would say, warnings or heeds that you would give people when they're out planting the seed.
So planting the seed is essential. A lot of integral parts that come with being out there and planting those seeds. But everybody in the world has an ability to plant a seed. It really does boil down to what type of seeds are you sowing? What type of seeds were you taught to sow? Because I'm not necessarily every seed is like, hey, I came up with this idea first. I mean, sometimes you're influenced to lay down certain seeds. For myself personally, the type of seeds that, you know, that I choose to lay down are seeds of humility, seeds of understanding, seeds of kindness, and all the positive things that really make people want to be better people, and not just for themselves, but for everybody else they come in contact with. But the important part about planting those seeds is that seeds also need to be watered. Seeds also need to be fertilized, you know, in order for them to grow. And then once you get these seeds to grow, they could grow into these massive trees. And sometimes these trees have branches that just go off into the wild blue yonder. Sometimes it's responsible for us to even get our pruners and get out there and start clipping off some of these dead ends off of these trees so these trees could continue to grow. You could easily translate that to an airman or to any person in any profession that has become stagnant. I'm gonna use an air quote just like you so you don't feel like you're alone in that. So some folks can grow stagnant, right? I would equivalent that to having dead ends of a tree. Sometimes it's gonna take someone that's gonna have to get some pruners, get out there, cut those dead ends off so that you can continue to grow and not only just grow out, but you can grow up and then grow into the right direction. So planting seeds is important, and planting the right seeds is even more essential because at the end of the day, we have people who are constantly in our workplaces, in our churches, anywhere where you can have an impact on people. There's people that are planting seeds of negativity, seeds of condensation or condemnation, I should say. I'm condensation like I'm over here talking about water. But all these other negative factors that they're putting into the ground. And what is that producing? That's doing nothing but producing fruit that's really unbearable and not palatable to the taste for the whole entire world. So it's very important that we kind of keep our mindset and continue to be mindful of what we plant inside this earth, because at the end of the day, even long after we're gone, just like a positive legacy can continue to produce positive things well after we're past our dash, those same negative seeds could do the same thing and make a, you know, not necessarily make the most important impact to the world like we would want it to be. So
no, you're right, man. So something else too, 100%. Like I think of the parables, right? When I hear you saying that about like the seeds that fall on, you know, the thorny ground, the stony ground and stuff like that. Right. So for the people out there that, you know, read the Bible and the Christian faith, that would make sense to y'all. But something else, man, I know you've said before too, and I 100% agree with is, you might not always see that fruit, right? You might be in seasons. You talked about seasons earlier. You might be in a season, and I just want to give people a little bit of a, maybe an uplift, if you will, an edification, is you might be in a season of planning and at your current installation or wherever your profession is, but it's Air Force specific. Man, sometimes we go through long seasons of planning and harvesting, or not harvesting, but planning and like trying to fertilize, as you said, and grow that, whatever it is, right? And that legacy in our case, but you know, you never see the true results. And then sometimes you might look back, especially, you know, the military again, and say, man, that was the best shop ever. Why was that the best shop? Was it really you, or was it somebody that spent a season long before you? And so many times, man, I have found that we don't call back, right? And say, hey, bro, sis, I really appreciate it. I can see the efforts of your labor reflected here in this organization. A lot of times we don't do that. You know, you might not have ever had anybody call you and tell you that. And that's sad if you haven't, whether it's you, Mac, or anybody listening, because I know that you have definitely planted the seeds. And sometimes you get to see that harvest. You might be there long enough to see, you know, people coming around and not necessarily being a clone of you, right? Like you said earlier, but
yeah,
taking what they've learned from you, applying it with their traits, their good traits. And you're like, man, that's a fire and forget now, fire and forget. They're leaving other people, right? And
absolutely.
And my good friend, Joe Bogdan, I'm going to mess this saying up, but something about building coaching trees, right? Leading coaching trees. If we as leaders, as we continue, or as people, I don't really prescribe myself as a leader. I just try to help people. But as we continue to move about wherever the Air Force sends us, in our case, or wherever your organization sends you, pouring into people's lives. Mac has told us, building relationships, plant the seeds, building relationships, knowing about who we are. So going through all the things that Mac has told us, and just doing the best that you can, and creating other leaders, right? Creating other coaches. That's our job, to do that now, as you continue to mature in your organization. But enough rambling out of me, man. Mac, it has been so great to have you on here. I can't let you off the real talk without some more real talk. And that is, what do you want written below your dash, man? I know me and you have talked about the dash a little bit, but what do you want your legacy to be? What is written? Maybe it won't all fit on one headstone. And we want you to live for a long time, man, forever. But, you know, at some point in time, we'll all meet the end. But what do you hope is going to be written underneath that dash, man?
If there's anything that I would say that I would probably want written underneath my dash, is going to be that, hey, life is going to be conditions-based, regardless of the circumstances. Keep smiling.
Yep, that's awesome, man. I love it. I like, man, we got to get that on like a quote board or something. I tell people, I say, it's got to be tweetable, or the youngins ain't going to have it. You know, it's got to be able to be put on a meme. And so I just exist and I turn into a meme. So that's why the airman thinks it's funny, right? So, but on a serious note, man, thank you so much for being on here. I know you're on duty right now. You're out getting after our nation's business. But thanks for taking the time to just share, man, because you know what? There's going to be so many people I know that are going to benefit from this. Any parting shots, last words? What do you want to leave the team with? I'll give you the last word, and all I'll say is, we out.
All right. Well, first and foremost, again, thanks for allowing me to be on your podcast. If I can, last time I did a podcast, I didn't give a shout out to my senior NCO flight. So I'm going to give them a shout out. Class 19 Foxtrot, Flight 11, number one, twice cold as ice. I love every single one of you guys. The 6 weeks that we spent together, man, you guys definitely have helped groom me and helped give me all the advice that I needed and all the keys to success to continue to be an effective leader. But through it all, man, I will tell you that, you know, through all the challenging times and through all the adversity, every single one of us have a responsibility to make sure that we take care of ourselves. We preach about self-care, and also making sure that everybody that we come in contact, we take care of them and continue to keep them in a positive mindset, and continue to shift that paradigm to make sure that we produce positive results and continue to go about life the right way, go about our nation's business the right way, taking care of families, whether you have faith in a supreme being, completely up to you. But however, just one of those things where you just want to make sure that you're going about life the right way, could just continue to be that example. And as granted, yes, it's going to be a situation where you may not always get the chance to see that tree grow. But as you continue to labor throughout your seasons in life, you should be able to rest assured knowing that something beautiful is going to bloom from the ground. So if I had any shot in words, though, that would be it.
Awesome. Mac, the legacy builder. Oh, you heard it here first on Real Talk with Caleb. Y'all know the deal. Till we talk again, keep it real. We out.